My last time that I preached here was February 25th. And I preached on the chapter 9 of this Gospel of John. And remember about the man who was born blind. You remember it, don't you? Yes, good, thank you. This passage from the John chapter 10 is closely connected to what happened in chapter 9, where the man born blind was healed. The reason Jesus is teaching this is to emphasize that the man was cast out from the synagogue by the Pharisees. Through that incident, Jesus highlights that his sheep will come to him, be welcomed by him, and received by him, and no one will be lost. Additionally, Jesus points out that the ability of the Jewish leaders to provide proper spiritual guidance to Israel. Today, we will delve into some aspect of Jesus' teaching when he presents himself as the Yahweh, or Jehovah, or the I Am, precisely addressing the contrast between himself, the Good Shepherd, and those leaders seen as the hired men. I am the Good Shepherd. That was the most powerful statement in the Bible. But who is the Good Shepherd? I'd like to point to aspects. We have many, lots of aspects, what the meaning of the statement means, the Good Shepherd. But today, I'd like to point this. I am the Good Shepherd because the Good Shepherd is the only one who gives life. The only one who gives life. Let's return to John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Every day we encounter attempts at deception against us, whether it's through internet phishing, false links, bank fraud, and unfortunately, even through misguided biblical teachings. In chapter 9, we witness the Pharisees prioritizing their own reputation and position over genuinely caring for the needs of the people. It's what we saw in chapter 9 of this Gospel of John. But you know, unfortunately, today we are sadly facing increasing number of individuals seeking to deceive God's people for their own benefit. It's very sad. How many promises and prophecies offering good life with no problem at all, and also promising easy money? Paul the Apostle in his letter, first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verse 3, 4, and 5, says this: if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupted mind who have been robbed of the truth And who think that godliness is a means of financial gain? Is on that time, 2,000 years ago. However, the great I am, the good shepherd, has come to expose all this deception, revealing that the evil, the thief, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Every time when I mention this Bible verse, I use these words to better understanding this text. I used to say this. The evil comes only to steal your joy, to kill your hope, and to destroy your family. That is the main reason for the devil working in this world. To steal your joy, to kill your hope, and to destroy your family. But our good shepherd lays down his life for us to restore your joy, to revive your hope, and to rebuild your family. This gives us better understanding of the verse, isn't it? Let me tell you this story. You know, I love telling stories. Let me tell you this story about reviving the hope. To demonstrate our merciful God shepherd, good shepherd at work. An illiterate mother of a close friend of mine in Africa lived in a constant military conflict area. One day, during cleanup at her church, in an isolated village, an armed rebel group invaded the church and started breaking everything there inside. She ran, hid under a church pew, and prayed this very simple prayer. God, please hear me. You said once that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Today the thief is here, inside my church, and he's going to kill me. You are the Lord who lays down your own life for your sheep, right? So I'm here, like a helpless sheep. Please, take care of me, and don't forget, I'm a widow. That was the simple prayer. As she later recounted, the armed rebels destroyed almost everything inside the church, walked around her many times, and like blind men, none of them were able to notice her there in a fetal position under the pew. This is what Good Shepherd does for his sheep. He lays down his life to protect them from the thief. And when she left the church, everything was broken. She did this prayer. God, you are really the good shepherd. Now I'm not afraid anymore. I'll go home. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we complicate what should be very simple. We need to develop the skill of communicating with God in a simple, sincere, and heartfelt manner, like that my friend's mother. Simple prayer, resting in our good shepherd's hands, even in the most difficult moments. It's about approaching His presence as talking to a dear close friend, someone ready to receive mercy and find grace whenever needed, especially in challenging times. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we read this. For we do not have a higher priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in very respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, let me put stress on this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, our good shepherd sympathizes with our needs. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. This is tremendous statement, as I said at the beginning, because He gives life, but also because He knows His sheep. He knows us. He knows us by name. Let's return to John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I received this video from some friend that was very interesting. That happened in New Zealand farm, a sheep farm. And the farmer, the owner of the sheep, they try, those tourists in his farm, say, try to call my sheep. Use this word. And the owner gave them the exact words to call the sheep. And everyone went there. And they used the specific words that they were taught to call the sheep. None of them responded the call. And then came the time for the owner. And he used exactly the same words. And suddenly all sheep came to him. That gives us a good example of this John chapter 10, verse 14. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Yes. The good shepherd, Jesus has a series of attributes in himself that give us comfort, safety, and hope. Jesus knows us. He knows who we are, what we do, our thoughts, and our intentions. This tells us of His care and love for us. Pay attention in what the Bible says. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. The Bible says that our good shepherd knows us. Pay attention. In the same way He knows the Father. And the Father knows Him. In the same way. Wow. That is fantastic. Isn't it? The Good Shepherd knows us on that level. According to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 14, I'm not going to read them. Our good shepherd knows us since when? Since before the creation of the world. Please let me say it again. Wow, this is fantastic. This reveals God's care for us. Through his love and strength, his to withstand everyday opposition. When we talk about Jesus' care for us as the Good Shepherd, it reminds us Psalm, what? 23? Yeah, but that as well. 9 for you, 9 of 10. It reminds us of the Psalm 23. The Psalm 23 is called the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. I put another title. For me, the Psalm 23 is the Psalm of the Sheep. Because our Good Shepherd knows us, first of all, there will be no lack of rest and refreshment. Second, there will be no lack of direction. Protection will be around us. There will be no lack of anointing. There will be no lack of acceptance. The Lord's eternal presence will not fail. This is the Psalm 23. Let me tell you another story.
Another story? You?
When our first daughter was just 2 years old, she developed a mild epilepsy, requiring her to take prescription medication. Of course, this naturally raised concerns for our family, especially when we decide to answer our call to go to Africa, knowing the limited resources in that country. On that time, when we went to Africa, she was 9 years old. 3 years later, at the age of 12, she got a serious form of malaria affecting the brain. It's called brain malaria. One day, while attending a class at the missionary school in the town where we were living, she suddenly fainted. Immediately, a child ran out to call for help, and right there, in front of the school door, by God's providence, she found a missionary nurse and the missionary doctor who were just there, passing by. The doctor came, immediately diagnosed her with brain malaria and took care of her. We praise the Lord for that miracle, having them there at the right place, at the right moment, when our daughter needed help. A month later, our same daughter experienced another fainting episode at the school. Again, a child ran out of the class to call for help, but this time she found no one around. Running to a nearby missionary house, they called another missionary in town who knew another South African missionary doctor who was nearby in town. The doctor promptly responded, diagnosed her with brain malaria again, and provided immediate care. The fear of receiving such news for the second time was devastating. Was overwhelming, considering the severe consequences associated with brain malaria. But the second part of that miracle was to come. The second part of this remarkable story unfolding when that South African doctor returned to our town a month later, and we visited him to express our gratitude. It was then he shared his fascinating details. On the day he received the call to care for our daughter, he woke up at 4 a.m. for a planned visit to a small village 8 miles south of our town. He left South Africa, went to Angola, specifically to visit that small town, that small village. But because he had misplaced a very important paper, he couldn't leave. He was looking for, woke up at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 a.m., still looking for that very important paper, when at 10 a.m. he received that call to go to the school to take care of my daughter. Miraculously, after caring for her, he found the missing document. Guess where the document was? In his pocket shirt. Here. The paper was there the entire time, inside his shirt pocket. Can you believe how our good shepherd works? But wait a minute. This story hasn't finished yet. Some months later, during our home assignment in Brazil, we took our daughter to her neurologist for an evaluation about the consequences of those two brain malaria. As we recounted the entire story, the neurologist added another layer of this incredible miracle of God in our lives. Because our daughter was already taking medication for her mild epilepsy, the brain malaria was contained, preventing her from seizures during those two occurrences. Our God knows us. He knows our needs. Knowing that we are going to pass that hard situation, mercifully, our good shepherd started to prepare our daughter treatment 11 years in advance, giving her the right prescription, the right medication to go through that brain malaria. God knows us. He knows our needs, even though when we think that we are crossing bad situations, even on the time that we call bad, God is there working for the glory of his name, first of all, and second, for the good of his ship. Come on, we are Presbyterians, but we can say amen. This aligns perfectly with what we find in John chapter 10, Verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. Psalm 121. The Lord who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches for you. Over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is good all the time. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, your story doesn't have to be identical to our story, but it should reflect the story of our Good Shepherd. Remember when I explained at the beginning the close connection between chapter 10 and the events at the chapter 9? Remember that I said at the beginning of our sermon? In simpler terms, Jesus' teachings as the Good Shepherd become clear in light of what the Pharisees did to the man born blind, now healed by Jesus. Just like how the Pharisees cast out that man, there are times when we feel sidelined due to our strong and clear beliefs grounded on Scripture. Have you found yourself sometimes sidelined? However, just as Jesus went out to his way to meet and welcome that formerly blind man, loving and restoring him, he extends the same grace to us. As the Good Shepherd, he leads us beside still waters, restore our souls, and guide us in path of righteousness for his name's sake, especially when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This assurance allows us to face evil without fear, because the Good Shepherd is right there with us. His rod and staff give us comfort. When you hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, we are moved to walk alongside him, embrace his teachings, acknowledge him not only as our Savior, but also as the Lord, the owner of our lives, according to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where we read this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Indeed, in the caring hands of Good Shepherd, we find peace. Because he knows us, we can find rest for all souls in time of need. Please pray with me. God, we thank you. Thank you for being our good shepherd and caring for every detail of our lives. Thank you, God, for being an unchangeable, unchanging God, providing peace for our souls and guidance on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. As your flock, we find green pastures in you. Thank you for Jesus laying down his life for us. We praise you in the name of our good shepherd. Amen.